Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. Joining us, sitting in with Tom, Missy Clifton. And if you could see Missy, she's looking around like, who's she talking about? I'm talking about you, Missy. All right, Tom, take
she's
it away.
She's in person.
Take it away, Tom.
So this song is from the 80s, I presume.
It says this was posted 16 years ago. That might be when you first posted music, but this looks like the 80s to me.
Yeah, it's 80s music. Sounds along like with 80s. Groups like Cutting Crew, George Michael, different people. And the group is called Baltimora. And they only had this one hit. It's called Tarzan Boy. Now, that sound right there identifies it as being from the 80s.
Absolutely.
That sound right there. But
this was like one of the first ones that was on VH1.
Yeah, if you could, or MTV. Yeah. If you could see the video of it, you would get that feeling. I was in Houston at the time, so therefore I can't be accused of anything. Okay, the scripture verse. Yes. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That is the first five verses of the book of Ephesians. All right, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to divide it, each section into each one. The first one is I wanted to talk about the Durham special investigator or prosecutor, whatever he is, report that has been going on for a long time. And I remember before the election of 2020, when Donald Trump was saying, hurry up, Durham, and get your report out, because, it will make a big difference in the election. Well, Durham didn't hurry up. And then the COVID scare hit, and federal courthouses were shut down for as much as a year. So you couldn't do a lot of stuff that you need to do in order to do a report like this. But he has been, as I understand, entirely methodical. And he's been a Kenneth Starr type guy and been very nitpicky, you might even say, about what he has come up with. And Now, the next step is, will there be indictments? Can it be proven in a court of law? Can you get impartial enough judges and juries in order to actually indict some people? But the gist of what he has found is that the Hillary Clinton for president campaign not only spied upon the Trump people prior to and during the 2016 election and during the transition period between the election and Trump coming into the White House, during this whole procedure or time, Trump was saying, they're spying on me in my own office. They're hacking me. They're hacking into my stuff. They're looking at my communication. He was roundly derided in the mainstream press for saying that, called paranoid. He's crazy. And based on what Durham has found out, he was absolutely right. Now, from what I have been told and the things that I've listened to and different people, this is bigger than Watergate, potentially a lot bigger. Yet, we're hearing almost nothing about it in the mainstream press. What can I do in Lexington, Kentucky? Not much. But what I can do is my little part to sort of sound the alarm and say, folks, our freedoms are being threatened. Whoever's listening to this show, all three of you, listen to what I'm saying and what we're saying here. And Missy's going to kind of expand on it a little bit. She's done a significant amount of research. She could probably write a book at this point based on what she's come up with. And we're sounding the alarm. We're saying, you know, maybe the mainstream media won't cover it, but by God, if you're listening to us at 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, you're going to hear it here. So Missy, you know, you've read a lot of things and, you know, kind of sort of, you know, we're only going to do one section on this Durham thing. So we got about 13 minutes. Just start summarizing some things.
Okay, Tom. So to your point, they are, John Durham, who is the special counsel for the United States Department of Justice, has been building a criminal conspiracy case unlike anything we have ever seen in the U.S. history. If you don't understand what that means, this is about, he has already done a federal court filing accusing the Clinton campaign of unauthorized mining of data. What does that mean? Unauthorized mining of data. It is spying. Where is this information coming from? Specifically, where did this data come from? It came from a undisclosed healthcare provider. Have no idea what that means. Number two, it came from the Trump Tower. Number three, it came from Trump's Central Park West apartment. And number four, which is the most alarming and should get everyone's ears perked up and their back straight, it came from the executive office of the President of the United States. We're talking about the White House. We are talking about what should be the most secure communication system in the world. And someone got access to the information from that. And I would like
this
to
expand. This is when Trump was president.
This isn't starting, I believe, in September of 2016, before the election and then after the election.
So Obama's still president.
You got it. You got it. It is treason at the highest level. So let's just kind of recap what went on. So you've got how who is implicated in this? And by the way, you mentioned there hadn't been any indictments. Yes, there have already been indictments. Michael Sussman has been indicted, and he was one of the lead counsels for the Clinton campaign. All right, so you've got a Clinton-supporting contractor, which is the tech executive that is suggested in this federal court filing by John Durham. His name, he's already been identified as Joff, J-O-F-F-E.
Rodney Joff.
Rodney Joff, that's correct. And Rodney Joff worked for Neustar, which provided the DNS services for the White House.
He was like their version of GoDaddy.
Exactly, okay. So all right. So
he provided their website or their web address.
Correct. So he was the tech exec that is referred to in the federal court filings. So, and he worked at the time for Neustar, which provides the DNS resolution services for the executive office of the president. He created an arrangement with someone in the White House to have access. So we've got this. Oh, and by the way, he's made no bones about the fact that he hates Trump. He hates Trump. So let's just stop and pause for just a minute. So again, I just said to you that he gained, with help from somebody on the inside, they got access to information coming out of the executive office of the president of the United States. We got it. They hate Trump. They hate Trump. Orange man bad. Get him out. Do whatever. This should really be very upsetting to people, because if it had been anybody but Trump, people would be up in arms. They would be, because if they got information from, if they were able to gain access to, you know, sensitive information, who else did? What other countries did? Who else who has bigger issues with the United States of America? Except for Donald Trump. Does Donald Trump, who has issues with the United States of America that got access to that information? This should really upset people. So let's go back. So you've got a Clinton-supporting contractor, Rodney Joff, who obtained sensitive, and by the way, unlawfully obtained information through the Office of the President of the United States, manipulated the information, passed it on to the DNC Clinton lawyer, Michael Sussman, who then delivered it to government intelligence, all on American soil.
When you say government intelligence, who are you talking about?
CIA and FBI. CIA first, really should have been an FBI situation. When you're talking about the CIA, we're talking about CIA's bailiwick should be foreign countries, foreign right, exactly. What's going on? What onion is being peeled and getting people really upset? Is this isn't just about the Clintons. It is about U.S. intelligence willingly targeting its own president. That's something is seriously wrong.
And Comey is the FBI head at this time. I'm James Comey. Brennan is the head of the CIA at that time.
Add a little extra interest to this. Who was immediately called to represent Michael Sussman, again, who is the DNC / Clinton campaign head counsel? The law firm by the name of Latham and Watkins, whose partner is Philip Terry. Philip Terry is Liz Cheney's husband.
Okay, so listen to that for a second.
Yeah, let's go over that again. So Liz Cheney's husband, I'll reverse it, Philip Terry, is a partner at Latham Watkins, the firm hired by Michael Sussman as legal counsel when the Clinton campaign misrepresented facts to the FBI in order for them to investigate Trump in the beginning.
So Liz Cheney, who is one of the two Republicans serving on the January 6th committee to try to show how Trump was involved, who has sworn that she wants to rid the Republican Party of Trump for good, whom Democrats are now lionizing as being a brave Republican. Her husband is involved in basically trying to exonerate the Clinton campaign of the malfeasance of spying that John Durham has now proven they were engaged in, or at least alleged they were engaged in. And so if you think Washington stinks and that there are a few actors that really care about integrity, like a Liz Cheney, just look a little deeper and see who her husband is, what he's doing, and it's just really bad.
Well, and a little extra interest is that turns out it wasn't just Hillary Clinton's campaign that had dealings with Neustar. Biden's 2020 campaign paid the same tech firm $20,000 for quote unquote accounting and appliance work.
Okay, well, I mean that's not a lot of money. I mean, they might have just been good at it. That's fine, but
they are, the Clinton and the Biden campaigns are the only two presidential committees to have ever paid Neustar and the Democratic, you know, party.
Okay.
They're the only ones that have ever hired them.
Now that okay, that's fine.
Just an interesting.
The bigger story though is the other stuff. So let me ask you this question. Based on your reading of this, it doesn't have to be exact, but in a sort of a ballpark thing, how many people do you think are going to be involved in this in terms of potential indictments?
Oh my gosh. I think my speculation wouldn't be even worth it. I would imagine.
So would you guess it would be bigger and not smaller? Yeah. I mean, will you even go that far?
I would suggest that this involves dozens of people in high level places, without a doubt.
So Missy, what I'm curious about, Missy is one of the best researchers ever.
Tears it up.
Where did you get your information? You got about a minute.
Well, and that's, I'm glad you asked that, because we were listening to a former BlackRock advisor that said, no mainstream media gives you what you need to know if you're going to get the good information.
Exactly,
you've got
right.
to go off. You got to go off track, and you've got to find alternative media sources, and then you have to dig deep, and then you have to look and make sure that what you're saying.
And when
is
you're
correct.
Reading those alternative media sources, you have to discern yourself: is this guy just a tinfoil type?
Are they even credible?
Yeah.
Well, I loved last Ted Gunderson, who was the former FBI chief years ago, said the CIA makes the mafia look like a Sunday school class.
So where'd you get your information?
Everywhere.
Give me a few places that the listeners can look to read.
Daily Wire, Epoch Times, Rumble, gosh.
And the thing of it is, in order for it to be credible, you kind of have to be hearing the same story from more than one source, because you can't just go on one source and say, well, this is it. You know, you have to, it's kind of like reading the Bible. You know, you see an idea in there. If it gets mentioned more than once in there, it adds some clarity to it.
Well, an impact to the story. And when you start to see, like you say, a common theme where the same thing's being told over and over again, instead of just some...
Substack is also great for... there's some really good, you know, research, very well-researched opinions, because they can't go anyplace else. Their Twitter accounts have been taken down. Don't even get me started on Hillary's involvement in Oklahoma City bombing. Four days before she was to be indicted in Whitewater is when McVeigh with the Murrah building was blown up. And all those documents gone.
Oh, wow. I didn't need to come in that long. And all those documents were lost?
Were lost.
Oh, wow. Well, you've gotten an earful... for this first half, and Missy's coming back with us in the second half of the hour with more research on other topics.
She can't be stopped.
She can't be
she
stopped.
She can only be contained.
We've given her a voice.
I'm angry. I'm angry.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. It's all right. You won't.
listen to the whistle of the evening train. You know you're bound to wind up dead if you don't head back to Tennessee, Jed. A rich man step on my poor head. When you get back, you better butter my bread. Well, you know that it's just like I said. You better hurry on back to Tennessee, Jed. Tennessee, Tennessee.
Welcome back to the Tom Dupree Show. Missy Clifton is sitting in for the second half of the hour as well, our master researcher. I have no idea where this conversation's going, but I know there's... Missy, you had a wrap-up you wanted to touch on.
Well, let me just...
Oh, talk about the music real quick.
Yeah. So, you all may be familiar with the fact that the guy running for mayor in Louisville, Craig Greenberg, who's been a very wise and sharp businessman for years, was shot at 5 times by an activist named Quintez Brown. I was looking at the Courier Journal, and they had nothing about the fact that somebody quickly made his bail. He attempts murder. And the $100,000 bail gets quickly paid. One of the things that the politics and the racial situation in Louisville these days, being what it is, immediately a number of people jumped to Quintez Brown's defense, saying, you can't attribute racism or any sort of terroristic, violent characteristic to his shooting at the mayoral candidate. It's simply mental illness. And then even the mayor candidate, Greenberg himself, said, well, you know, let's not get into all that. But now they're starting to say, well, wait a minute, this guy attempts murder. He shoots at me 5 times, and he's out of jail in 2 days. There's something really screwed up about that. Everybody on the side of the of Quintez is saying, it's just a mental illness problem. But what's interesting is he fires 5 shots at the candidate for mayor, but previously he had campaigned against gun violence. So what's going on? And the Louisville being what it is these days, anything that anybody says that's of a common sense nature will probably be branded as racist or, stupid or what have you. But I don't live there, and that's their problem. But you are hearing this show there because we broadcast in Louisville as well. Anyhow, so the next thing that we want to deal with is the ongoing violent demonstrations of the truckers in Canada.
All right. We also need to circle back around real quick and say,
I say that with tongue in cheek,
that the music that we started, because you never did tell that part, was LaVon Helm, and the song's called Tennessee Jed.
And so, but Missy wanted to finish up one thing before we got into the truckers.
So. No, it actually is all tied together because you know what you're describing is just mainstream media running defense, you know, yet again on a story that does not go along with what they want, you know, people to follow. It's not what they want them to focus on. They want to control this, you know, this media-driven hatred. You know, that kind of story would drive hatred, and they don't want that. They want you to just sweep that under the carpet and, you know, nothing to see here, folks. Let's just keep moving along. What you're seeing, though, you know, so to come back around to the Canadian truckers, what you're seeing is almost a demonization, a dehumanization of the truckers that is so telling. When they have been, by large, just a peaceful demonstration of people who have had enough.
There was a guy that is on the ground with them that said, every night they all say the Lord's Prayer together.
Yes.
They're cleaning up the sidewalks.
Helping people.
Yeah. They're making themselves, you know, they're not leaving trash everywhere. They're not cursing and saying, they found one guy with a Nazi flag, so that he decided that's what it's about. But we're talking about 10,000 people. Right. So,
yeah. And so, you know, what has been the Canadian government's response? They have declared the truckers and their supporters as terrorists, and they plan to seize. Actually, nothing is off the table. So the things that they're talking about is to seize their possessions, their trucks, their homes, their furniture, clothing, food, phones, as well as their investments and their savings, threatening them with lengthy jail times, substantial fines, to revoke their license, and anyone who supports them, even so much as to give them a cup of coffee, will be treated similarly. Yeah. This is crazy.
Well, Give Sin Go, which is the website that they went to in place of, what's the other one? GoFundMe. Got hacked with, who would know how to do something like that other than somebody
that
probably...
Oh, you should see the guy. He's got pink hair. He has gone out on TikTok and is bragging about doing it.
Okay. Well, they've put the names of everybody's, all the supporters on there. In downtown Toronto, a lady whose coffee shop gave $100, somebody came in there trying to throw a brick through her window.
She gave $250, but I know exactly which story you're talking about.
And people are being threatened with...
they had to close the shop for the day because the employees literally felt in fear for their lives.
Yeah. And so... You know, this is the kind of thing that Trudeau has unleashed on Canada.
Yeah, so this is real-world harm crafted by government, greenlit by the media, and weaponized by the mobs of idiots on social media. And we're looking at this, but nothing that happened in the United States during all the protests, you know, that was peaceful protest, as, you know, that was apparently okay. And this is okay. This is okay. You, just because someone disagrees with you, you gave money. These people are acting. They're behaving peacefully and just trying to ask for the freedoms that they were guaranteed by the Canadian government, that they should not have these forced vax. And actually, by the way, we were talking about this earlier. Most of them are vaccinated.
Just don't want to be forced to present their card. To go here, go there, and nobody likes this little prick that is the president of Canada or prime minister. He's an asshole. Sorry, but he really is. And you know, his daddy was. It's kind of like he ascended to politics through his family. But what a goober! I mean, this guy. And anyway, that's just.
So you have to ask your question. I was trying to talk to you about this earlier. You have to ask the question: why? Why is Trudeau digging in his heels on this vaccination? You know, vaccination.
It's on principle.
No, it's not. And this, you know, this is another thing that the media just is not. The mainstream media is not reporting on. this is a financial advisement company. Let's talk about Acuitas Therapeutics and Arbutus Biopharmacal.
Say it again. You're jumping fast.
Acuitas Therapeutics. It's what? Acuitas and Arbutus Biopharmacal.
So these are two different companies. A&A.
That's right. Acuitas is a privately held company. Pfizer uses their lipid nanoparticle delivery system. So let's just say they are a partner with Pfizer. That's all you need to know. Arbutus Biopharmacological is a publicly traded Canadian biopharmaceutical company. Both of these companies have license agreements through the University of British Columbia, which means that, in essence, Canada gets paid for every Moderna and Pfizer shot that is given. And in fact, it is suggested that Trudeau's foundation alone might hold as much as 40% ownership in Acuitas' stock. In their overall.
So he cannot financially afford to have this whole thing apple cart upset. And indeed, we learned that the FDA is trying to come out with the possibility of you have to have yearly shots. This is a huge revenue thing that is being, we can't be jacking with this.
It is a financial
Having studied the pharmaceutical industry myself for probably 35 years, what I concluded a long time ago is that the drug companies are not in the healing business. They're in the stealing business. They're there to make you take their drugs, and they hope that you will take them for a long time because that's how they get their revenue. One of the biggest problems that the drug companies have in the U.S. is they only get to keep their patent for 18 years. That's why they're constantly trying to come up with something new. Thus, the pandemic, and in 108 days, the vax. So it sounds like Canada figured out a way to profit from the, they got their little toll gate going where every time there's a shot, Trudeau and his people are getting a little piece of it.
That's right. This is a financial racket. It is too profitable for him to let go of. And of course, he has to pay off his ministers and members of parliament to keep him on his side. Otherwise, if they had absolutely any honor left, they would have crossed the aisle and at least had a discussion. And so, you know, my suggestion is, how about freezing Trudeau's foundation money instead of the truckers and compensating the victims of his crimes after a thorough investigation of exactly what's going on?
It's interesting how the Democrats in this country sort of do the same thing. They vote as they can't cross the line. They cannot ever discuss anything outside. Secretariat in Russia or the Soviet Union was, they are too tied into the system. They can't do anything outside the system. This is fascinating.
Well, in reports that I've seen show that this is, you know, much like things in America, you know, it is so divisive for the Canadians that the suggestion is that 50% of the Canadians support the truckers' mission. They support what's going on. They actually feel hopeful for the first time since the last 2 years. But the problem is they have definitely picked sides, and there are very few people in the middle. It is, if my understanding is correct, it's almost tearing the country apart. So that's a sad part with this.
Well, but here's the problem. This has been going on in most major liberal democracies for decades. And so the country was being torn apart for a long time. Now it's just surfacing that, you know, we're tired of having stuff shoved down our throat because we comply. and it never gets any better. It continues to get more onerous, and you, the government and governing people, find more ways to profit from us and our suffering. It's interesting. It keeps popping into my head. I read the Bible a lot. During the time when Jesus finally came on the scene, the Jewish temple system had become so entirely corrupt. It was pay to play. There was nothing about God in there. It was all a revenue system which enriched the high priests. This is why Jesus could have sat and talked about love your neighbor for the next 200-300 years, and they would have left him alone. It's when he started hitting them in the pocketbook and declaring that their practices and the way that they had corrupted religion was evil and wrong and should change. That's when they got him in their sights. Now, this is the thing that's whenever your freedom protests start hitting the revenue, the really corrupt sources of revenue for the ruling elite, that's when they get upset.
Okay, and so coming soon to a United States city near you, ye that think that this is going on in Canada, for anybody out there that's interested, look up Lee Dundas, LEIGHDUNDAS. She is a human rights attorney in California, and she has been nonstop on the freedom train. So we're not even talking about, you know, vax, no vax, all the other ridiculous COVID protocol and things that this is just about solid freedom. So I think, right. And if you knew, if you look under her, you can look under her Instagram page.
What's her name again?
Lee Dundas, LEIGHDUNDAS. So guess what starts February 23rd, and it's going from California to D.C. It is a trucker's convoy in the United States, and it will begin on the 23rd, slated to begin on the 23rd.
We'll see how many people
The push and the gathering and the growing are already starting.
There's something – I've spent some time in Canada starting in 1974. Drove from here to Banff, stayed the night in Calgary. Lovely place. I don't think it's as lovely today as it once was, but Western Canada has always been more like Texas, and it was so beautiful. And then in 2014, Adarsh and Mike and I flew into Calgary. Then we went to visit a company in Saskatoon, and we drove 8 hours across the prairie into Saskatchewan from Alberta. I can't tell you how incredibly beautiful it was. It was in June, but it had rained a lot, and even in the side of the road, there would be these ditches full of water, all these migratory birds in the ditches, the different kinds of ducks and things that would, you know, end up down here in the wintertime. I loved Canada. I mean, it's horribly expensive. Even when, you know, I would be up in Watertown back in the late 80s, early 90s, and a bottle of wine would be $7 in New York and $22 in Canada. It's the prices have always been stupid over there. Gasoline, they sell it in liters. And you've been paying $5-6 a gallon up there forever. Nothing in Canada is easy or cheap. People just don't live as well up there. They haven't been able to because the whole system screwed up. It's socialism, and it has been for years. It's not free enterprise.
Can't help you on that one.
No.
That's next week. That's Missy's research for next week.
I mean, it's what I'm trying to say is that this whole thing's been coming for a long time in Canada. I like Canada. Yeah. Like Canadians. Really great people. You know, I like they got they live in the most beautiful land, and it's gigantic. It's like 2.5 times the size of the U.S. If you go up into the northern reaches of it, I can't think of the name of the big province that's bigger than all of them, but it's the tundra basically. It's got its own. There's no roads up there. I mean, it is back in the middle of nowhere. And way back. And that's what I like about Canada. You know, it's more, this part of Canada is more remote than Alaska. But yeah, it's a big land. It's for big people. And they've turned them into these little mewling and puking, just little, you know, just ruined them. And I hate it. But maybe it can change one day. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, Missy. No,
thanks for thanks for your I mean your
thank
research.
You for your research. Hey, you're listening more, to the Tom Dupree Show.
You're gonna hear more from Missy as we go along because she is so good at this. We're gonna get her own show at some point. Mm-hmm.
She is on the show. She's
we're
in
gonna
the
get
first
her
hour.
One of her, it's gonna be the Missy Clifton Show.
Oh, get her our own show. Yeah. Well, that's a wrap for the first hour. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show. Mike and Adarsh will be coming in just a minute. Stay
waiting
tuned.
In the
we'll
wings.
Be right back. Baby.